Welcome to the Raise Up Podcast, the only podcast focused on how you can get a raise at work. Every week, we're dishing tips and tricks straight from the industry experts, CEOs, and HR directors so you can finally get paid what you're worth. So buckle up, Buttercup. Let's break it down. She's a little sassy, but a lot of fun. Here's your host, Amanda Lefevre.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome to the Raise Up Podcast. My name is Amanda Lefevre, here to help you make more money at your job. I'm so excited to introduce you to my new friend, Amelia Wilcox. She's the founder and CEO of Zenovate, a high-growth B2B company whose platform provides employee stress management tools that arm businesses with actionable data and employee experiences to improve well-being, morale, and engagement anytime, anywhere. Recently listed as a 40 under 40, Fast 50, Inc. 5000, and twice awarded National Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year, Amelia has exponentially grown her company from a solo living room service business to an international technology brand. She operates Zenovate with a virtual team and provides flexible work for over 1,200 practitioners across North America while balancing the demands of motherhood of her three daughters. Hey, Amelia, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Amanda. Happy to be here.
I'm so excited. So tell us a little bit about Zenovate before we get started, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so we have a platform where we have pre-recorded and live services that we provide employees. Their companies pay for it. And we have like a big library of content. It's like yoga, meditation, fitness classes, life coaching, counseling, massage instruction classes where you can learn self-massage and learn how to massage people in your household. And those you can either work with a practitioner live over Zoom, or you can access any of our content library pieces at any time through our app.
That's amazing. So it's really like a robust employee assistance program. Is that a lot of where it falls into?
Yeah. So that's a good question. It kind of depends on what piece people are interested in doing. So some companies work with us just for the wellness piece. They just want the physical wellness, the mindfulness. And then other companies hire us for access to counseling and mental health services for their employees. And so that's kind of where we fall into the EAP side of things, is because EAPs are traditionally access to mental health services for employees that are in crisis.
Interesting. So I have to ask, like, what has this journey been like for you? It seems like it's been a long journey, but also you've built it. You're the founder and it's just grown exponentially. So can you tell us a little bit about what this journey's been like?
Yeah, just from the beginning or since COVID? They're two different journeys.
I would say. So let's talk about COVID. Yeah, let's talk about COVID. How's COVID been? Because it says you have a virtual team, right?
Yeah, so for us, it's like, I mean, people are really excited about working remotely or really stressed about it. Like, it's just funny to see everybody's posts on LinkedIn and they're like, oh, there's a baby in our Zoom meeting. Aren't we amazing? Like, we've always been like that. Like, if you look at our social media posts, even when we meet in real life, there's just like someone always has a baby with them. It's just like part of our culture and who we are and who we've always been for the last 11 years. Because I'm a mom with young kids. And so it's just, I built it in a way that it would fit with my life. And so it fits for all of our employees. So we have a lot of like really amazing women who have education and experience and have left the workforce because they had babies and wanted to be home with their babies. And so working for us remotely is like the perfect fit for them. Some of them work part-time, some of them work full-time. But yeah, we've always been remote. So the whole COVID work from home thing, we're kind of just looking around like, okay, we've been doing this for a decade. People are trying to figure it out. And we're like, yeah, we figured this stuff out a long time ago. So it's not anything new to our team to be working remotely at all. But it's definitely new to the company to like not be allowed to do massage in person at any of the corporations, because we've got a lot of companies are working from home. So there's not like the opportunity for us to service them in person anyway. And even if we could, some of the companies that want it, the states are shut down. So we can't even offer any kind of services, even if the client wants it, because it's just not allowed right now.
Yeah, that's tough. I'm glad that you guys have like the virtual infrastructure, though, it seems like in place to kind of balance all of that out. I know a lot of people have tried to pivot and it hasn't worked. And some people have figured it out. It's just been like a learning experience, we would say.
Yeah, I thought I knew the meaning of pivot, and then COVID hit, and I was like, oh, I'm like, that's what a pivot really is. I thought, like us. So when I first started the company, it was like me and my computer and my phone, and I was manually like text messaging massage therapists and being like, can you go work at this place on this day? And I was doing that myself, like no technology at all. And then we started building our own technology, and it just like evolved to where we kind of pivoted from like a service company to like an on-demand, like technology-enabled services business, like an Uber. People could just hop onto our website or get on our app, and they could just order massages to the office. And so I felt like that was a pivot,
And that's
but
cool.
nothing compared to this. I mean, 3 weeks after we furloughed the entire team, we launched a brand new brand. So we were in corporate massage before COVID, and all we did was corporate massage. The first thing we had to do, because we knew we wanted to offer all these other services, we had to have a name that reflected who we were. So we had so many names and so many logos and brands before we got to Zenovate. And yeah, it was a lot of 100-hour work weeks, which I didn't even know were possible. How can you even be awake for 100 hours in a week, let alone working? But yeah, we launched the new brand in 3 weeks, and then we built that platform. We built it out in about 10 weeks, where we could provide the virtual services, people could schedule online. The mobile app, I mean, we're 5 months in. The mobile app for Android just released in beta, and we're almost done with iOS as well. So I feel like we've moved really fast, and it's been really, really hard. So,
It's impressive though. Like that is a serious pivot to be honest, all of the things that you guys have done, but everything that you're doing is so timely, I feel like, and can really benefit people where they are in their current work status, right? Like working from home, they have access to all of the things that you offer. Is that correct?
yeah, totally. So we have some companies that let their employees book anything they want. And so employees will book like nutrition classes with a nutritionist where they'll like work with them on a meal plan. And even we've even had like group classes where like the HR department wants to do cooking classes. They learn how to make like 30-minute meals with one of our dietitians. And they can work out either with a video or with a person live and in person just in their home. Or wherever they are, which is what's nice about the app because it's just on your phone. So for me, like me and my 8-year-old daughter just started meditating 2 weeks ago. And so we just use our content library, and she gets to
Nice.
pick out a meditation every night. And she's got severe ADHD and an anxiety disorder, so she has a really hard time going to sleep. And so we just started doing like these little 10-minute meditations before we go to bed, and she just like goes to sleep so easy. So
Nice,
really.
that's good.
Our team is also like participants in our own program and use our own platform. So that's been pretty fun to be able to share our experiences with our clients too.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we talked a little bit about like the show being about practical advice for advancing your career and kind of getting paid what you're worth. And in this virtual world, a lot of people are wondering how do they stand out to, presidents, managers, everybody, and, get a raise eventually. Not now. Like we keep talking about timing a lot, but it's not the time to get a raise now. But how do you continue to stand out when you're working from home and you're not in the office and you're not able to network like you used to? How does that happen and translate for your team?
So I think there's a few things. One thing I've noticed is a lot of people are like upping their LinkedIn game, where they're being a lot more active. They're posting things that are like helpful to other people who are dealing with things. So I've just seen a lot more people, a lot more active on LinkedIn. So they're building like their personal brand, which is I mean, it's a great time to do that, right? Like I think a lot of us, are in the workforce right now. There's just a lot of unease about jobs and layoffs and multiple waves of layoffs and stuff. So I think there's no better time than right now to really focus on building your LinkedIn presence and Yeah, so on LinkedIn, I've just noticed a lot more activity. There are people that I know who I'm connected to that are unemployed who are posting things, you know, about relative to like what they do, just kind of putting their voice out there and being seen by other people so that other employers can reach out. And we've actually interviewed quite a few people that I've just noticed on LinkedIn who have awesome skills and experience and are just like floating around looking for their next job. So yeah, I think LinkedIn is a great tool. For us on a virtual team, I think it's like, how do you get in front of your teammates and show, you know, your value to the company, especially right now where I think a lot of people want everyone else to see how valuable they are, right? Especially if you're working from home and people are getting laid off, like how do you make sure your employer sees the value that you're bringing to the company and that like you're not on that list, which is kind of morbid, but I mean, we use Slack, and I think being able to, so we have like a fun channel. We have a channel called the COVID-19 Survival Room, because we still have some teammates who are on furlough. And so it's a place where even the furloughed employees can like interact with us and feel connected. And we can like share pictures of our kids and make jokes and put up funny memes and GIFs. So yeah, I think just being able to be visible digitally to your teammates. And then we have a town hall every Monday. So speaking up, asking good questions, when your team is like presenting problems you guys are trying to solve and opens it up to the floor, like sharing your ideas. Because I think it's more important now than ever to be like visible and be able to kind of show off what you're doing, because we're not all together in most cases right now.
Yeah, and like you had said, active. I think it's really easy right now to, I don't know, whenever I'm at home, I turn a little bit into an introvert and I'm just kind of like here and I've got stuff to do and laundry. And there's just, it's just a different feeling almost when you're working from home. And so sometimes I feel like I have to make a concerted effort to be more active and make sure that I am always responding, right? And just continue to be connected.
Yeah, I for sure, as an employer, if I'm like reaching out to people and they like don't get back to me for hours, I'm like, are you even working today? From the employer standpoint, I think it's important that everyone sees, and it sounds dumb, but you know, you have to like be there. I want to see your green dot next to your name on Slack and know that like you're on and your Slack is open, and I want to see you responding to emails and stuff. So I think it's just important, because as employers, it's harder to see people's productivity and things like that. So you just looking out for yourself, like you got to just find ways to raise your hand and be seen.
Yeah, for sure. Do you feel like over the years you've had to really develop and put yourself out there and create like a personal brand for yourself?
Yes. Yes. So there's like me, who's like the real me, but then there's like CEO of Zenity, who's like goes up and gets awards and like writes blogs and, you know, does interviews and things like that. And for me, they're like two separate personas. I mean, it's all me, but the normal me is not like, oh, I just want to be like on stage and in front of all these things. Like, I understand for me, it's like a means to an end. It's like, people need someone to connect with at the company and somebody to be like the face of the company. And that person is me. And so, I don't know, I'm fine going out and doing publicity stuff and being on stage and going to events and speaking and things like that. So, but it's not like, if it was just up to me, I would just like hang out in my hole and do my work quietly with my head down. But I understand how important it is for brand recognition and visibility for the company that somebody is out there being the face of the company, being in the public eye.
Mm-hmm. What have you learned in this digital age of running a virtual team? What has stood out the most to you, you think?
I mean, the hardest thing with a virtual team is communication and that feeling of connectedness. I guess those are the two hardest things, because they're actually separate. So for us, like our local team here in Utah, we've like gone hiking. Our operations team, they do a virtual lunch every week with our operations manager, even though most of her team is still on furlough, they still get together and it's like not company sanctioned, but they have like their own Zoom lunch that they do. and get together. So that's kind of like the feeling of connectedness. We've also done quite a few live meditations and yoga classes as a team, like in the middle of the day with our practitioners, where we're like, okay, everybody's going to break. And I think when the leaders say, I'm doing this yoga class, like, you guys all need to come, it kind of gives everyone else permission to take a minute for themselves. So we've been trying hard to do things like that for connectedness. But as far as the virtual team, so one of the things that's really hard for people, which I think a lot of people in the US or maybe across the world are struggling with right now, is like figuring out how to balance working from home and kids and home and responsibility. So what I am seeing happen is people work like three times harder than they've ever worked before right now. And they go from like family, work, family, you know, family, sleep, wake up, family, work. So there's like no break. You know, before it was like people would go to the office, they would have their commute on the way home to like disconnect from work and like be ready to interact with their family. And right now it's like you just go from one thing to another. And I do too, but I'm just used to it is the only difference. So like I'm used to like wake up, take care of the kids, get them to school, come back, do a podcast, like do some more meetings, go pick up the kids from school, have more meetings, work after they're asleep. Like it's something I'm very used to, but a lot of people have a really hard time creating that balance, not just working themselves, you know, to death. Even my dad was talking about, he works for a college in Missouri, and he was saying he's just like having his computer there and knowing like if someone has a question, he could just hop on and answer it. He doesn't have that, because before it was like, oh, if I'm at home, like I gotta wait till I get into work, I don't have my computer. And now he's like, it's so hard to just disconnect from that, because there's always work that needs to be done. It never stops, you know? So I think that's really hard for people. So we've tried to, you know, give people permission to be flexible. A lot of our employees are parents who work from home. So being able to say, you know, let them take off in the middle of the day to have lunch with their kid at school or take somebody to doctor's appointments. We try to be like really flexible, but I know that balance is really hard. And then the last thing was communication, which you just have to keep people talking. And so we have a culture team that like they every week have some sort of like fun question that they put on Slack. In fact, the other day, one of our team members was like GIF Uno or something. And you had to like post a GIF. And then when somebody's response has to be related to the one above it. And anyway, just fun things like that so that people are getting that interaction and then communicating clearly. I have a problem with this because I make so many changes and do so many things and it's all in my head. So I have to like write everything down and then make sure that gets communicated out to the team in email and in our town hall and on Slack, and just making sure you have to over communicate is the thing, especially if people aren't seeing each other in person. So I just have to communicate, and I usually send a video too. So it's like they get an email with a video and everything in the video written in the email. They also get it on Slack, and then we go over it in our town hall meeting. So it seems kind of like overkill, but otherwise people are off doing their jobs and they don't know like there was a change to the system and they have to do it differently, and it results in a lot of frustration. So you just have to over communicate. Sorry, that was a really long answer.
No, that's great. No, so I heard flexibility and balance out of a lot of that too. So you said communication is key. With the flexibility and stuff, how have you... I know a lot of people are new to this situation. How do you balance? How do you do all of the things that you do during this time of virtual life?
So for me, balance is not a daily thing, right? So a lot of people think of balance and they're like, okay, I have to balance like every day, this much work and this much family and whatever. For me, balance, that's not what balance means. Balance is like maybe weekly or every couple weeks, where it's like this week maybe I'm going to work really hard, next week I'm maybe going to pull back a little bit and I'm going to focus on my family because we have stuff going on. Or so for me, there's like an ebb and flow that really rotates more on a weekly basis than on a daily basis. So that's how my brain works, and that's what makes sense to me. Because sometimes it's like we have a deadline, like this week is our last week of development before we have to like furlough our development team, and like they have till Friday, right? So we're working super focused on the development side. So I'll work in the evening to make sure everything's ready and everybody has what they need. And then next week, it's going to be just a lot quieter around here. And all we're doing is sales. So the focus is sales to get our revenue up so we can bring everybody back to work. So it, I mean, it just depends on what you've got going on that week, but that's kind of how I balance. I'm just like, what does my family need this week? And is it a week I need to focus on my family or my kids? So my husband's a firefighter and he will work 48 hours and then he's home for 4 days. So on the weeks, like he just worked 3 days in a row. So on like over the weekend and on Sunday or Monday, I had to be very like, my kids are the highest priority. They just started school. It was the first week of school last week. It was like, I had to make sure I was taking care of them as the highest priority. Now everybody's kind of in the swing of things. My husband's home for the next 4 days. So now I can focus on work again. So that's kind of what I mean, where it's like, it's not like every single day. Like I don't necessarily get in a workout every day. I don't always get 8 hours of sleep every night, but it's just kind of this ebb and flow that kind of goes maybe every 5 or 6 days, kind of how it flows for me. So
that kind of takes the pressure off, though. I've never really thought about it as like a weekly thing. I've always thought about it as a daily thing. And so if there's more family and there's less work, now all of a sudden I'm stressed because I'm like, I didn't get enough work done, or I was working constantly and I feel like I neglected my child. Then I'm like, I am a terrible mom, right? Like it just is like balanced by each day's performance. And so I like the idea of the weekly thing. How do you think people can approach their employers about flexibility and things like that? Is that a conversation that can happen right now or should happen?
Yeah, that is a tricky question. It's really going to depend on the employer.
Right.
But for us, for instance, so when we had to furlough everyone, I wanted to keep two of our sales reps. So I just had a conversation with both of our sales reps, who were both full-time all summer. And then our school just started, right? And so one of them, she's got a daughter who has some challenges and her going to school is like, it just takes a lot of the mom's time. She needs to be able to go to school a few times a day for her daughter. And then the other one, she's got a bunch of young kids and she's in Arizona, and Arizona isn't opening up their schools. So she's got to do homeschool with them. Or online school, it's not really homeschool, right? It's, there's a curriculum someone else made, but you're doing it at home. So she's like, I love this job. I don't wanna have to resign, but I just don't think I can do it because I need to be with my kids from 9 to 1, right? So yeah, and I just said, let's go half time. Let's just have you work from 1 to 5 every day. Totally fine. So, and that worked out great. She's super happy. She's super loyal. But I think employers have to be a little bit flexible right now because people have their kids in a lot of states. In a lot of states, schools aren't open. And that is really hard, having school-aged kids and having to teach them from home. I mean, spring was rough, not only on the business, but like having the kids try to do school at home is crazy. So I'm lucky because right now my kids are in actual school and we'll ride that train as long as we can till they shut it down. We expect they'll be back, but yeah, I think employers have to be flexible right now. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying like, this is my family situation. Are there any creative alternatives? Mm-hmm. You know, and I love part-time employees. I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome. It's less expensive and you still get amazing quality work out of people. And they're very dedicated. Working these last 11 years with like mostly stay-at-home moms, they can multitask like nothing else, man. And they are dedicated. They are loyal. They work harder than anybody else I know. Like I am like a huge fan of the stay-at-home moms, because that's essentially, I mean, that's what I am, right? So people that can work hard like I can and still balance it all. And I think it's amazing. So I don't think there's any harm in having those conversations. I think if you can approach your employer in such a way that, you know, you're not saying, I can't do this. You're saying like, here is my challenge. How can we come up with a creative solution to that? Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that question. How is there a creative solution or a creative option for whatever's going on? Because sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, they're going to freak out, or I don't know. It can be nerve-wracking to ask those types of questions because you don't want to appear as if you're not up for the task. Because I think that you usually are and you're experienced and you want to do the work, but there's stuff right now that's happening that is out of a lot of our control. So
there's a lot of parents that have had to leave the workforce with their kids doing school at home. I've talked to a lot of other entrepreneurs mm-hmm. who have lost good employees because they need to be at home. But for us, it's like, well, then we'll find a way to make it part-time and make it work because it's not permanent. Eventually COVID will end and I don't want to lose my awesome people. Yeah. So I'd rather give them some flexibility, but maybe not all employers see it the same way. So I say that with the caveat.
Yeah, right. That's true. I've learned that a little bit from some of the listeners that just not every employer is made equal some of the other ones. But so I did want to ask if there is anything else that you want to kind of add to this national conversation about kind of raising up and advancing your career, creating your personal brand in this COVID era that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah. So one of the things that's super important to me is people's desire to continue to learn and grow on their own. Mm-hmm. I'm the kind of person, like, I'm self-taught. I didn't graduate from college. Like, I learned how to do, you know, some computer programming, some basic, you know, C++. I actually studied COBOL in high school.
what is COBOL? I have to ask. What is that?
They're calculation programs. So it's mainly used like in banking and stuff like that. It's math calculation. Mm-hmm. So most people who do any programming will just laugh in my face if I tell them that I studied that because it's like this archaic language, but I believe the banking industry still uses it. But I mean, most programming languages are pretty similar. But anyway, yeah, I've learned how to do business. I've taken lots of classes. I read gazillion books. I have mentors and advisors that I work with. I think everyone should always have an advisor. So I actually set up my leadership team to all have mentors. So, our chief revenue officer works with somebody on our board whose like background is in sales. And he like started the sales team at HubSpot back when they were a startup. And
nice.
Then, you know, connecting like my HR director with one of the VPs of HR, you know, that I'm friends with I think everybody should have a mentor. Everybody should have somebody that's where they want to go. So that's one thing. And then just being able to learn all the time. So we hired a graphic designer who is amazing. And we needed a product manager. We needed somebody to like design our platform and our app and everything. And she was totally up for the task. She was like, I've never done it before, but I'm like super interested in it. I want to learn. And she's just gone off on her own. And she's like read all this stuff and she's taken these classes and she's just been figuring out. And then I also connected her with a mentor. So one of the guys who built the UI for HubSpot, and he now works for Google with their Google Chrome UI. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of basically gave her all the tools that she needed. But the advice and how that translates is like when your employer needs something or the company you work for has a need, like raise your hand and be like, if it's something you're interested in, like I'm up for learning it, right? And the more you can learn and the more you're willing to like learn and grow, the more the company is going to be dependent on you and not willing to let you go because they're going to need you because you're, and especially in my company too, like we have our top sales rep. She had worked in finance. She had worked in customer support and now she works in sales. My very first employee still works for me and she's worked in customer support and staffing and she ended up in finance and that's where she wanted to stay. So, you know, COVID cut us down and we had to rebuild. It's basically like we're building a brand new startup. And those are the people I want in my corner, in my like second version of the company. That's basically a startup. It's like, who are those people that can do like 10 different things and wear all these mm-hmm. different hats and are super flexible and will just go and learn it if they don't know how to do it. And I think that's how you become really valuable to a company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that builds your personal brand as well. Like you can wear all those hats and you're willing to be that person that says yes and I'll figure it out type of thing. So I know that you had said that you guys are working on an app, right? So it's coming out on Android and then you have one that's going to come out for the Apple. Is that right? The iOS?
Yeah. So iOS should be available at the end of September. Android, we just completed beta. We're making a few changes and that should actually go live later this week. So
nice.
Probably by September 1st, the Android one will be live. So, but we only sell to employers. So mm-hmm. like anybody can actually go to zenovate.app and they can create an account and log in and they can get access to like our free content library. But in order to get paid, we don't sell direct to consumer. I don't know if we ever will. I like working with businesses instead of like making one big sale instead of like a million small sales. But yeah, if people like anybody can get access to our free or complimentary library, and then they'll be able to download it from the App Store and stuff like that.
Nice. And they can tell their leaders too about
Yeah.
the option as well if they want
Exactly.
to. Is there anything else that you feel like you guys are going to be doing that makes a big impact on the industry coming up here soon?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing we're just working on right now is focusing on mental health. And there's a few reasons for that. One of the reasons is when we first launched our original six services, it included life coaching. And almost immediately, our life coaches were overwhelmed with problems that were way bigger than they could help with, right? So people like addiction, depression, anxiety, PTSD. And so I went, huh, they really need someone they can escalate to. And we actually started looking at people and clinics and stuff we could partner with and other companies. And it just sucked. Like what was out there just sucked. It was like, I mean, the system we built for massage is already equipped to be able to do the same thing with any service type. I mean, licensed counselors, the licensing is managed on a state level. So we have to have like different licensing requirements for each state, which is how massage was. So I was just like, you know, instead of working with all these other companies that, you know, just use independent contractors and there's no guarantee on quality of service or even like if they're going to be available, are they going to have any availability? Because right now the wait times to get into counseling centers are like 3 weeks.
Oh.
So I was just like, you know what? I think we can just hire our own and I think we can do it. So we are in 12 states right now and we'll be nationwide by the end of September. So,
Nice.
in fact, we'll be in the UK and Armenia as well. So, some of the companies we work with are global, and so we have to have people in some of those other countries. But it was just like kind of like there's a huge need for mental health services right now. There's a huge wait. The EAPs people have are so broken. You usually have to like call a hotline, talk to someone. They'll give you a referral of like some other places you can call. Then you have to call those places, talk to a receptionist, tell them your problem. They'll set you up with somebody, and then it's a 3 week wait. So with us, people are booking counseling and they're getting in within 24 hours, and it's awesome.
That's amazing. And that is like, I don't know, I feel like industry rattling almost because that just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen and it's so needed right now. So I'm excited for you guys. How could people connect with you? What's the best way for people to connect?
Yeah,
LinkedIn?
LinkedIn. I'm all over LinkedIn. So, yeah, people can find me on LinkedIn and DM me. I'm pretty good at responding to people's messages, so.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Amelia, for being on the show. This has been really amazing. And I know that our listeners are going to get a lot out of it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I loved being on the show, Amanda. It was awesome.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I will talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Raise Up Podcast. If you want to raise, head to www.raiseuppodcast.com and download our step-by-step roadmap where we've taken all the expert advice we've collected and put it into a simple PDF ebook called, you guessed it, How to Ask for a Raise. Before you join us again, make sure to subscribe, share it with your friends. You can click the share button, take a screenshot, and share it on your social stories and tag at Amanda LaFever. See you again soon. We'll be right back.